Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
This is Bump and Stacy
on Seattle Sports.
Streaming through the Seattle Sports app.
Now, here are your hosts, Michael Bumpus and Stacy Ross.
Here we go now.
Joining us now from Peoria Mariners insider Shannon Dreyer on the Emerald Queen Casino Sportsbook Hotline. Hey, Shannon, how's it going?
It is going. How are you guys?
Good. We're good. How's the week of spring training been so far? Any individual players standing out is just looking especially solid?
Yeah, you know, I think the thing that really stood out, and it was yesterday's game, and we've seen this a couple of times, but we did see the offense really kind of pass the baton against the Dodgers, get to a really tough pitcher and a pitcher that they hadn't seen before in Yamamoto. And so it was good to see offense along those lines. We had fun watching some of the young kids in that one too. But as far as anything kind of extraordinary as individuals, I think everything kind of feels like it's where it should be. And you don't really see too much stand out and kind of focusing on the bigger picture right now.
Well, that was going to be my question, Shannon. This is spring training. Yeah, I'm sure the staff has an idea of where they want their team to be. You said you think things are where they should be. What does that mean as far as pitching and the guys that we expect to count on this year?
Well, you feel good about the rotation. I think, you know, when you really look at where guys should be, it's easier for a starting pitcher. Their routine is something that they don't really require hitters for. They can work all winter towards something and then see if it fits against hitters. And it usually does because they're able to measure what they're doing as they're going through their work. But you look at the starting rotation, and I think that if you do see a starter that perhaps doesn't do what you would expect them to do numbers-wise, it's because they're working on things. Or, you know, it's important to remember that it's spring training for umpires as well. You know, we've seen some situations and some calls here and there where I don't think and you hope that you're not going to see in the regular season. So as far as the starting five goes, and especially since you saw Brian Wu's second start, which was much different and a different focus than his first, you feel good about where you see them. The bullpen, obviously, is something that's going to have to sort itself out with the final two spots, as you do have the injuries, and you are not going to have Matt Brash and you're not going to have Gregory Santos ready for opening day. So that is significant, but you do have competition for those spots. And they are going to have options of what they can do in those four final two spots. Will it be as good as Brash and Santos? Of course not. But I think that they do feel, I know that Scott Service is actually kind of excited about some of the arms that they have and the ability to do some things with those pitchers that'll be, you know, that you'll see earlier in the game. So pitching feels good right now.
From the rotation to the lineup, we've all had our eyes on Ty France as he looks to bounce back, getting some work in at Driveline, on new additions, maybe on questions at third base. Completely overlooked are some other contributors like Canzone. I hear almost nothing about him, but obviously the Mariners are still looking for contributions. What are the expectations for him, do you think, from this club?
Well, we point this out every time. He's an incredibly young player in the game. He does not have much big league experience. He made some significant changes in the off season in that, you know, he changed himself physically and he also made some changes to the swing. And now they're kind of going to work on, he already had a pretty good eye at the plate, but he could even do a little bit more with his swing decisions. And they're working on that as well. So I do think that he is a player that is still growing, that we don't really know what he is going to be, but they like the potential. They really like the potential that is there. Different people in the organization kind of have different ceilings kind of penciled in where he's at, but a very intriguing player. He hasn't done anything of concern in spring training. In fact, he's very much impressed in the way that he showed up to camp and, you know, the ability that he has to hit the baseball. So I think that he's in a good spot right now, especially when you take into consideration that they have Julio and three other outfielders. They're going to have the ability to kind of mix and match. The one outfielder that is having a bit of a struggle right now is Luke Raley. And he is, you know, he's got an O in front of his batting average right now. And I normally say don't look at the batting averages. Or if you do look at the batting averages, look for the reason. And he just simply hasn't found his timing. as of yet. So he is going to get a lot of at-bats, and hopefully that will help get him to where he needs to be. And I think Azur's also probably, he's a younger player as well, I think kind of coming to a new organization and trying to do too much sometimes. We talk so much about the hitters that they had last year and how many hitters they had that, oh, they're going to strike out a lot, but the reward will be there if they hit the home runs. He's that guy. You don't want a lineup of five of them. You can't afford to have one or maybe even two of them. If they're going to have one, he is that guy. And I think that sometimes when you come over to a new team, you perhaps don't want to be that guy, but you're not all of a sudden going to, you know, shave 10% of your strikeouts off of what you normally do. So I think for him, there's kind of a being comfortable factor that's important too. And to that end, he's going to get at bats nearly every day, be it in a big league game or a minor league game.
Shannon, when spring training first started, I asked you about Julio and some things that might change. And the thing that we talked about was his availability and willingness to deal with the media. And as you obviously rise in your stardom, you do less and less and kind of lean towards like the bigger networks. Have you seen a change in that, or do you think that he's still willing to kind of shoot the stuff with the with as many people as possible?
Well, I think one of the goals that he has is to have better balance with that, and that there was too much of it last year. And if you ask me, it was too much on the national side. And it's not just, you know, the media. It's also, you know, the other things that he has going on. He's definitely, you know, you've seen he kind of one of the things that blew me away is that when we went to Boston relatively early in the season last year, I was walking through the Prudential Center, and they've got a lot of shops there. I walked by an Oakley store, and there was an entire window that was Julio in Boston. And you know, so he had a lot of deals and a lot of different sponsorships and things like that. It's a lot to juggle. And that's one of the things that I think he kind of quietly went to work on and knew that he kind of had to rearrange some of the priorities and not try and say yes to everybody. And so that I think there is going to be juggling on that end. As far as kind of the balance of the national and the local media, I think we still have to wait and find out what that looks like. I do know that, you know, it can be tough to get him to sit down for something kind of longer form, but you also can, the few times when he is at his locker, stop by and ask a couple of questions. So we'll see how that plays out over the season. But for him, so much of it has to do with he's got to have time to do the things that he needs to do for the game. And that balance, I think, is very important to what he does. And I think he realizes that.
Trevor May joined us in studio yesterday. A former teammate of Polanco, had nothing but great things to say. That was the signing that he was most excited about. And he said, look, part of it's personal. I love this guy. But what have you learned from Polanco since being there at spring? Have you had a chance to chat with him much at all?
It's funny. I actually was I was chatting with him 5 minutes ago.
It's like I knew.
And there you go. She's so good. You know, it's funny because the first thing you hear about him is he's a workaholic. He is always working. He's always in the cages. The second thing you hear is he's rather quiet. And so sometimes that can be a little intimidating. Well, if he's quiet, he probably doesn't want to talk much. But the other thing that you learn is that when you do approach him, he can talk, and he is going to talk, and he is going to, you know, speak. He's going to answer your questions thoughtfully, which is great. And one of the things that I was talking to him about is something that I'm going to have up later today on Seattle Sports is, you know, that yesterday they made some cuts, and there were some big names prospect-wise in those cuts. You know, Cole Young was one of the players that was sent down, and Harry Ford was sent down. Tyler Locklear was sent down, and these are all players that are expected to help the Mariners at some point, but they were also the youngest players that were in the clubhouse. And Scott Servais, I said this morning that this is the best group of veterans he has ever seen dealing with the young players. And if you think of the situation, it's really something, because when you walk into a spring training clubhouse at the beginning of spring, there are 74 lockers in the Mariners spring training clubhouse. And the clubhouse is about the size of the clubhouse in Seattle. And in Seattle, just about every player has at least one empty locker next to them, and the lockers are twice as big as they are down here. So it's a crowded clubhouse. And I don't know about you, but Stacey, have you ever seen me when I come in and there's not a seat available in the sports pit?
You're just an absolute pleasant, sunny ray of sunshine.
Yeah, right. No, I've got work to do here. Get out.
I know. Woman with a mission.
You know, that kind of thing. Well, now imagine a baseball clubhouse when you're shoulder to shoulder and there are guys in that clubhouse who are not going to be on the team this year. You know, sometimes right. And when you're a ball player, everything's kind of directed towards you. And all of a sudden you're, you know, stuffed with 70 other people in a closet. And you know, that goes for the cages, too. Now, the big leaguers will always get the priority in the cages. Nobody is kicking a big leaguer out of a cage. But everywhere you go, there are people underfoot. So that's, and then you've got situations where perhaps the guy, the young guy that you're talking about, maybe he's kind of slated to take your job someday, too. So it's an interesting dynamic. But Scott Service said, you know, again, this is the best group of veterans that he's ever had. And I had somebody, a couple of people in particular, tell me that Polanco was one of the ones who was the best for these young kids. Mitch Garver's name also came up, which is thing, you know, I've heard that from, you know, people in Texas. And I don't think it's any coincidence that the two of them were both brought up in the Twins organization, that is very, very known for doing good things with homegrown players and young players and things like that. There were Mariners that were in that conversation as well, Cal, J.P. Crawford, and whatnot. But young guys coming in, or new guys coming in, and realizing that the young guys are going to help them at some point, and it's very important, and also remembering when they were that guy. And Polanco, to that end, was one of the guys that was talking quite a bit to the young players and was approachable to the young players. He's been approachable on our end as well. And, you know, away from that, seeing him at the plate, I would go ahead and say right now that probably the player that feels most or looks most ready is Polanco from the left side. He looks comfortable at the plate from the left side right now. And you've still got, you know, what, 10 days to go in spring training. And sometimes it can take the whole spring. And sometimes for some players, it doesn't happen until the season begins. But it's been a lot of fun to watch him at the plate, in particular on the left side.
Well, Shannon, speaking from experience, it's a great feeling going from that temporary locker to a main one when you're in there scrapping to fight the teams. I would love to talk to one of those players and get that feeling. They used to roll in the temporary lockers with no names mm-hmm. on it. It's about 12 inches wide. And then you get your name in the locker, man. That's awesome. Someone on the text lines wanted us to ask you about Ryan Bliss. Is there a spot for him on this year's team?
At some point, probably. I mean, if you look at it right now, there are really no positions that are open on the position player side. I think you can pretty easily sit down and write down what that is going to look like. They are going to need players throughout the year. Injuries happen, underperformance happens, and his versatility will play a big part in that. And so, you know, I think it's important that he is getting the opportunity to be seen by the big league staff and by the manager and by teammates. And, you know, he's made a good showing so far. I think one of the challenges for him is that he does play so many positions, and so that you have to, you know, have them all locked down. But, you know, so far so good, very intriguing what he can do offensively. And it'll be interesting to see, you know, when he gets the call, what that looks like at the big league level.
She is Mariners insider Shannon Dreher, kind enough to join us from a busy spring training out in Peoria. Thanks so much, Shannon.
You got it, guys.
See ya. All right, we're going to take a look around the NFL coming up in 15. What I need to know coming up at 45 after, you can send in your questions now, 866-979-3776. We are out of here an hour early, sending you to the Mariners game at 1 p.m. Right now, let's head to the station for Hype Train. There's a poll up on seattlesports.com, and they like switching it out, so you can vote in it right now. Now, granted, Julio Rodriguez is not one of the choices here. I do want to say that before anyone texts in their disagreement for our first Hype Train. The question? Which of these Mariners will hit the most home runs in 2024? The winner right now, Mitch Garver. So that's your first Hype Train, and I want you to include Julio. Mitch Garver will lead the 2024 Mariners in home runs.
Mitch, good old Mitch. So we're saying he's
we're
gonna.
Saying it's not Julio.
It's not Julio. He's gonna come in and do his thing in my house. And her name is Callie.
Yeah, and you haven't brought her into the office, and I'm really upset
because I don't want her to pee and poop everywhere.
Well, Mike brought in Gertie. She's not potty trained.
Well, mine's different. And her name is Callie, so I'm going to go with Cal Raleigh because it just makes sense.
Oh,
Cal Raleigh is going to be the guy.
Yeah.
He's going to hit 35 of them things, and he's going to be the leader that we know and that we love.
35. If Cal Raleigh hits 35 home runs
35
and is not on that top 10 catcher list from Fox Sports for a third consecutive year, I will lose my mind.
Who at Fox we need to talk to?
Mitch Garver will lead the 2024, Mariners in home runs. Bump says no, he thinks it'll be Cal. This list should include Julio. I mean, all Mariners. Curtis, are you boarding this train?
I mean, I think it'd be a good thing if Garver was hitting that many home runs. That'd be a great free agent signing at that point. I have a hard time picking somebody else besides Cal or Julio. So I'm going to let this train go on by. Love to see it, but I don't think that's going to happen. I think Julio and Cal are going to be neck and neck. We're talking at least 30, probably in the neighborhood of 35. Yeah.
No.
It's not going to be Mitch. Garver.
Yeah, assuming that, well, everyone can stay healthy, but assuming that Julio stays healthy, I have no doubt it can be Julio. I think Cal can hover around 30. I think he got 30 exactly on the dot for 2023. I can absolutely see that kind of production again. Yeah, I'm going Julio for this one. Next type train. Gerrit Cole out 1 to 2 months for New York. Meanwhile, Dylan Cease no longer an option for the Yanks. So Blake Snell will be a Yankee.
There's really only two options.
Mm-hmm.
Yankees or Dodgers. Dodgers rotation is stupid right now. And when guys like Blake Snell hang around for this long, I like to believe that maybe the chances of them coming to Seattle are heightened. But we know how this thing goes, man. The guys who go out and spend the most money and have the most talent are just going to acquire more talent. There are some questions with Blake Snell. He's getting old. He's got some injuries. But I believe in him. And I believe that the Yankees will go ahead and get Blake Snell on board.
Boarding that train. Rich get richer in New York. Blake Snell will be a Yankee. Bump is boarding. Are you, Curtis?
It kind of seems like this is the only team left, kind of in the Blake Snell running.
Like Blake Snell is boarding this train as well, going, yeah. I only have one ticket.
Blake's like, I kind of have to go to New York at this point. Yeah, I don't see any other team stepping up and paying the money, meeting the years that Snell wants. I think his market is going to be like how we saw Bellinger and Chapman sign for way less than what they were expecting. I wonder if Snell goes the 1 year route and maybe hopes to replicate what he did a year ago and try it again and get a big deal next year. But yeah, there's just nothing out there for Blake Snell right now other than New York, who missed out on Dylan Cease. That just seems to be the only option. So I will board this train. I think Blake Snell ends up in pinstripes.
Next hype train into the station. We are headed to Baltimore looking at Derrick Henry. The last time Derrick Henry didn't surpass 1,000 yards was in 2021 when he only got 937. Oh, through 8 weeks. He was on track to get 2,000 yards once again. Unbelievable production before he got hurt for the season. It was devastating. I still can't believe that. 8 games, 937 yards. Holy cow. Otherwise, he had 1,500 yards in 2022. Still over 1,000, 1,100 yards, 12 rushing touchdowns in 2023. But yeah, it's going to be his year 30 season. Some people are wondering if Baltimore will go with some kind of rotation there. But Derrick Henry will surpass 1,000 again in Baltimore.
Here's the thing. You had two runners, one a quarterback, one a running back, go for over 800 yards with the Baltimore Ravens. Lamar Jackson had 148 carries. Gus Edwards had 198. 824 Lamar, 810 for Gus Edwards. I'm going to say because Henry is there, Lamar's carries are going to drop at least 20 to 25 carries, and those are going to go to Derrick Henry. You got Keaton Mitchell, who's going to get some burn as well. He got 47 carries. It's going to go down. He's going to fall forward 100 times to get 1,000 yards, it feels like, with Derrick Henry. Yeah, I'm on it.
Derrick Henry surpasses 1K in Baltimore. Bump is boarding. Curtis, are you?
I'm boarding. Yeah, this is going to be a resurgent year for Derrick Henry. The Ravens, I think, are now going to kind of take that mantle as the Chiefs' biggest foil in the AFC, even though you can be the most competitive team against Kansas City. Doesn't mean you're going to beat them. But, yeah, I think Derrick Henry gets over 1,000 yards. He's looking like the Derrick Henry of old. It's funny because, like, when I think of Derrick Henry, the one play that sticks out the most comes against the Ravens. It's when he used Earl Thomas as a blocking slide.
Oh, my God.
So and Baltimore now probably thankful to have Derrick Henry on their side.
So yeah,
he's,
no kidding.
He's getting 1,000 yards.
Yeah, I am going to go back to what Sam Monson said. This was on Twitter, and then he talked about it with us, which was Derrick Henry has kind of made a career out of proving to people that he's not a traditional, has no traditional limitations. Mm-hmm. Oh, you got injured or you were a workhorse in high school or in college? All right, you're going to be a workhorse again and still get over 1,000 yards each time. Oh, you're in your age 30 season? All right, you're still going to get over 1,000 yards. I mean, he has constantly defied those expectations. It was such a good point, and I think that it's going to be true in Baltimore with over 1,000 for him. Next hype train into the station. We got two more. The bobblehead heist. Pittsburgh Penguins say that they have been the victims of a cargo thief who took 17,000 bobbleheads. I'm calling shenanigans, though. This is the hype train. The bobblehead heist is a ruse and promotion.
You know what? It is, because there's some PR intern named Leslie. And she made all this happen.
Leslie.
Poor Leslie.
That's her middle name, actually. She goes by Leslie.
There's no way her name is Leslie, and she was born after 2000.
Gen Z, yeah.
She doesn't like Jessica. Leslie's her grandmother's name. They put it in the middle name. She goes by Leslie.
Madison. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, with an X somehow.
And there's going to be some video that's about 90 seconds long that's going to show the mascot rescuing the bobbleheads and bringing them to the arena, and everyone celebrates.
That's such a good idea, actually.
Yeah, I'm telling you, that's what it's going to be.
Oh, my God, that is a good idea. The bobblehead heist is a lie. It's nothing but a promotion. Bump says yes, and not only that, but he's predicted how it'll go down. Curtis, are you boarding this train?
I'm not, and here's why. Where are the bobbleheads? We don't know. Where's Kate Middleton? We don't know.
Well, don't spoil
Kate
my
Middleton
next hype train.
Has the bobbleheads.
What?
It's the perfect crime, okay? It is real. Kate Middleton has the bobbleheads. You heard it here first.
Can we get to my next hype train?
Yes.
Yeah, I can't believe that you just said that. The last hype train, because we're closing in on the segment, we're about to take a look around the NFL, is obviously like a really funny one, but it's not anymore. We will see Kate Middleton before MLB opening day.
That's 2 weeks from like today, right? Yeah.
March 28th. We will see Kate Middleton before March 28th.
Yeah, we'll see her on BBC saying she's getting a divorce and taking the kids.
Whoa!
And half of the palace. That's what's going
down.
You know
what I would do, too? Yeah, I'd be like, half of that is mine.
So, yeah, we'll see her.
We will see Kate Middleton before MLB opening day. Bump says, yeah, and they're going to wish they signed a prenup. I'm sure they did. It's probably locked down.
Yeah.
Curtis, will we see Kate before MLB opening day?
2 weeks?
That's not a lot of time. Look, the Royal Palace.
You gotta get your story in order if you're gonna be seen in 2 weeks.
Kensington has gone out of their way to look like fools. I don't put it past them to continue this charade.
I hope we see Kate Middleton before opening day. But 2 weeks? That's pretty quick here. I'm not boarding. I think this goes into the summer. I think she's a classic camp holdout. I think she's not going to be reporting anytime soon.
I think so. That's exactly what this is. I think it's a camp holdout situation, and she's saying, not on my watch.
Yeah, did she get franchise tagged and is not happy
about
exactly.
it? I'm not. I don't think so. I don't think we see her until even like May, June. Like, I think that's very possible. And it's starting to get to the point where 90% of jokes on Twitter are amazing and gold, and like Twitter is running away with it and it's such a great time. However, a part of you is like, okay, but is there something seriously wrong? Like, it's veering
actual
from
concern.
Into actual concern territory. But yeah, I gotta side with you guys on this one. You're listening to Bump and Stacey on Seattle Sports and the Seattle Sports app. Get your questions in for What I Need to Know at 45 after 866-979-3776. Taking a look around the NFL next.
Bumpin' Stacy.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
On Seattle Sports.
Here are your hosts, Michael Bumpus and Stacy Ross.
Starting off our look around the NFL with a congratulations to Dan Campbell and Brad Holmes. Both received extensions today from the Detroit Lions. Rightfully so, Bump, I would say. They're now locked down through 2027.
Yeah, good for him, man. Dan Campbell, 9-8 in 2022, 17-5. Almost made it to the big game. Can we say that? The big game?
Who had a more heartbreaking loss, Baltimore or Detroit?
Detroit.
I think so too.
Detroit, because they had the nation behind them. And
yes.
That, you know, and everyone was rooting for them. Baltimore is more like, for real, you guys messed this up. It was all set up for you to do what you're supposed to do. And you only run the ball 16 times. But with Detroit, it was more like, we're rooting for you. We love Detroit.
Yeah. It was
But it was rough, though.
I mean, again, it's not like it was stolen from them. Detroit basically packaged it up and then handed it to the 49ers. I mean, there was a series of mistakes made there. But they've still built a wonderful team. I mean, God, they have made such improvement and such strides in three seasons. And so much of that has also been great personnel. Holmes, who is also a recipient of an extension alongside Campbell, the GM there, credited for Penei Sewell, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Aiden Hutchinson. I know some of these are like, well, number two overall, you're going to take Aiden Hutchinson. But still developing him. Jameer Gibbs, Sam LaPorta.
Jared Goff. That is the most impressive move right there.
The Jared Goff trade, being able to, and we'll see, you know, Ben Johnson's staying there. You know, we'll see how they continue to develop there. But even last year's draft, a conversation that we had towards the end of the season, they got panned for some of these picks.
Yeah,
and they
did.
Ended up working out.
Believe in your philosophy. I believe in Dan Campbell. I hope they can run it back.
Good for the Lions. Well, who's not running it back? Joe Flacco with the Browns. He won't be returning in 2024. Instead, he signed a one-year deal with the Indianapolis Colts to be Anthony Richardson's backup. I feel like we were, as was Anthony Richardson, cheated out of seeing what could have been there. He was, I think, one of the most interesting, intriguing draft prospects out of last year's class, and we barely got to see what he could become. I mean, he had a concussion, then he got injured, and finally done for the season. I wonder what 2024 brings for him.
Focusing on the wrong thing here.
Oh, Joe Flacco.
It's about Joe Flacco.
I'm sorry, 80s babies.
39 years
of
age. Still out there. I saw LeBron play last night at 39 doing windmill dunks and stuff. I go, how? How's he doing that? I look at Joe Flacco making or keeping the Cleveland Browns competitive, getting into the playoffs, man. I'm happy for him. Anthony Richardson, he's got plenty of years to figure this thing out. I'm happy Joe Flacco's still in the league.
My apologies to Joseph Flacco for not immediately focusing on him and the pride of the 80s. I'm very, very sorry for that. Player swap. You don't normally see those, but that happened today. Desmond Ridder being traded to the Cardinals for wide receiver Rondale Moore. Now, this way, Atlanta gets yet another weapon. The Cardinals get a backup for Kyler. I think it works out fine for both teams.
Yeah, I think it's fine. I was, Bomani Jones tweeted something, and he said, oh, this is how you show you support Kyler Murray. And I normally don't really comment on people's stuff, but I go, but he's probably the best available backup quarterback out there. I don't think it has anything to do with Kyler Murray. It's Desmond Ridder. He's left. Go ahead and back him up. Good for Desmond. He's not going to get an opportunity there in Arizona. You go ahead and be a backup. He's going to be a guy in 2 to 3 years. You might see him resurface somewhere as a guy to fill a void.
All right. Next up here, the Chargers are also retaining star pass rusher Joey Bosa. They already restructured Khalil Mack's salary to get themselves under the cap, in addition to releasing Mike Williams. That helped them become cap compliant. They also restructured a contract with Joey Bosa. So they are trying to keep as much of their star players, minus Williams, intact as possible. There were rumors that they wanted to bring Williams back, but he's going to explore the market. But keeping Joey Bosa and Khalil Mack there is huge for, I don't know why I almost said San Francisco. For L.A.
Because of Bosa.
Yeah, that's why.
No, it's important. It's important. When Harbaugh took the job, there were a few players he was looking at and said, those are my dudes. It was Justin Herbert. It was possibly Keenan Allen as well. But on defense, it was Khalil Mack and it was Joey Bosa. Is Derwin James still over there as well? I mean, there's been talent on that defense. You just haven't been able to kind of hone it and make it perform at a high level for a long time. There have been flashes over there with Staley. But I'm hoping that Harbaugh switches it up, because I want that AFC West to be chaotic. I want the Denver Broncos to draft a quarterback and go nuts. I want Kansas City to have to rely on that defense again. I want Gardner Minshew to run it over there in Vegas. And I want Herbert to finally kind of reach his full potential and get a few playoff wins.
All right. Well, the Eagles, earlier we reported, are being investigated by the NFL alongside the Falcons for tampering when it came to signing free agents Kirk Cousins and Saquon Barkley. They have since denied that. So a story from this morning that Howie Roseman and the Eagles are saying, no, this absolutely didn't happen. We were not tampering here, where during that window, you can only talk to agents, not the actual player himself. So all of this stemmed, in case anyone's wondering, from Barkley's former coach at Penn State, James Franklin. And he talked about the proximity of Penn State to Philadelphia and how that played a role in the running back signing with the Eagles. He said, for him now to come back and be able to play within the state in Philadelphia, Saquon said that was one of the first things that Howie said to him on the phone as part of his sales pitch to him. So, again, you are not allowed to speak directly to the player unless said player is an official agent representing himself. I mean,
man, come on.
Who do you believe here?
It goes down. It goes down. It always goes down. No one just waits until the legal tampering and say, I don't know where I'm going to go. I haven't had any communication. My agent hasn't spoken to anybody. I haven't spoken to anybody. I haven't spoken to anybody on that team. No, I sure haven't. No, this is, it happens this way. It's all about monitoring it, and the NFL is not going to spend money on the resources to see if guys are tampering or not. It's ridiculous.
I think this could also, no pun intended, be a game of telephone where what Howie Roseman and the Eagles told Saquon's agent is, you know, hey, we can also promise him that he can be closer to home, closer to his alma mater, and that Saquon then communicated that, or the agent communicated that, and it got spun into Howie told Saquon this. Yeah. But anyways, that is why they're being investigated, in case anyone is wondering. Let's head to San Francisco, where wide receiver Deebo Samuel is changing his jersey number. Instead of number 19, he's now going to be number 1.
That's going to be weird to see at first.
I think it's going to make him look smaller.
I think it's going to make him look bigger.
Well, we will find out.
Thick. That boy,
see, when
thick.
I think number 1, I think of Cam Newton, so I think of the biggest possible person.
Yeah, Cam was a big boy. I'm all for the single digits, man. I understand why people are reluctant to give skill positions other than quarterback and kicker the single digit, because it helps you identify players a bit faster. Defensively, at least. I think offensively, you know who's on the outside, who are running backs and receivers. Defensively, it's tough. But do what you got to do. There's going to be a lot of number 19s getting turned in for number 1s. Have you seen the jersey insurance that people can get? I hope they got it.
What?
So if your player changes numbers or changes teams, I don't know what the policy is, but you're allowed within a certain amount of years or months or whatnot to switch your jersey to that one.
Oh, okay. Yeah, as you should be able to, because those are expensive, man. If you drop,
let's say
someone's birthday, let's say it's for Mother's Day, Easter, whatever it is, you drop like $150, $200 on a jersey, like a really, really nice one, and then that player changes his number, now you have an old jersey. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's bootleg. Who can say? Yeah, I'd be wanting to change in that, too.
Heck yeah.
One of the top remaining one of the top remaining free agents has signed with a team. The Dolphins snagged cornerback Kendall Fuller, who's the top corner available. He's on a 2-year deal. Now, my question is less about Kendall Fuller, unless you want to speak to him, and more about the Dolphins and where they kind of fit in and your expectations for 2024. I mean, the AFC is just stacked.
AFC is stacked. The Buffalo Bills are still going to be good. The New York Jets will be better because of Aaron Rodgers. I want to see what New England does with their pick at number 2 or 3, I believe. I expect Miami to put up a lot of points. It's the defending part for me. They had good moments where they defended well. They can run the ball. They can throw the rock as well. But I need to get some stops and get over that hump, man. Miami's been good for, 2 to 3 seasons now. We still haven't been able to live up to expectations.
All right, you guys, get your questions in for What I Need to Know. It's coming your way next, 866-979-3776.
Bumpin' Stacy.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
On Seattle Sports.
Here are your hosts, Michael Bumpus and Stacy Ross.
It's What I Need to Know, brought to you by Allred Heating, Cooling, Electric. Get your questions in to the Mac and Jack's text line, 866-979-3776. Here we go. First question, What I Need to Know. How much confidence do you have in the Seattle Mariners actually winning the West?
Confidence?
Yeah. Maybe you like percentage.
I do... 60-40 them not winning. So 40-60 them winning, yeah.
I'll get on board with that. And I think mostly it's just not having done it. It's not because I don't think they have the best rotation. It's not because I don't think that they, you know, have improved, you know, some areas where they were struggling. It's just that it hasn't been done since 2001. Like, you're kind of used to being like...
And the Astros and Rangers ain't going nowhere. They're still there.
Back-to-back World Series winners. Both were in the ALCS last year, and they're right there in your division. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Curtis, what about you?
Yeah, it's going to be tough. I think they'll be right there with Houston and Texas, just like it was a year ago. But winning the division is so tough, especially with the competition being what it is.
What I need to know. Here's a weird one. A sadistic billionaire gives you a proposal. You will fly from Seattle to Vegas alone on a plane with 5 rattlesnakes. Just 5. If you can avoid getting bitten, you'll be awarded $20 million. But if you get bit, you don't get anything and will have to suffer the consequences of a rattlesnake bite. Do you take the flight?
Here's the thing. I always have so many questions when it comes to stuff like
what
this.
Are your questions?
Right? Can I just hide in the bathroom? Can they get into the bathroom? I'm sure you're on a private jet. There's a room in the back where it's a, you know, the bed back there. Can I just close the door and get in there?
I think all rules should be fair game.
If I can do that, oh yeah, I'm doing it.
Yeah. I mean, will it be fun to be hidden in an airplane bathroom for how long is the flight to Vegas? 2 hours? Yeah.
2 hours.
I could look at my phone. You know what I mean?
That's easy.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm doing that. Now, what if you cannot? What if you have to remain within
the fuselage?
First class, in the fuselage. First class included to the very last aisle seat.
Not doing it.
Only 5 rattlesnakes, though.
Not doing it.
But they might just sit there and just rest and fall asleep for 2 hours.
I got kids.
$20 million.
I got responsibilities.
Yeah, but think of how much fewer you could have.
Do we know if rattlesnakes are kind of like sharks where, like, if you don't provoke them, they're not going to bother you?
I think that they will indeed bother you. Something tells me rattlesnakes.
Something tells me. Not facts, not research.
Get a little activated. You know what I mean?
So I got a good feeling on this one.
The vibe I've gotten always from rattlesnakes is that if you get close, they will rattle. And I wonder, though.
Which leads them to snakes.
But this is what I think. I think most wild animals, if they're more afraid of you than you are of them. And if you stay far enough away, think of how big a plane is. Like, if they just, they're like, they don't tell you where the snakes are, I would just walk on. I would find a seat where it isn't by it, and I would just, legs up, just stay there for 2 hours.
I just put you in the carry department. You can fit in there, just stuff you in there,
yeah.
Boom, you're good to go.
That's a really good idea. And then I will split the $20 million with us and help save you from the rattlesnake bite that you will never get. What I need to know, is the Mariners' weak link this season the bullpen and not the offense?
If they can't stay healthy, I mean, you're looking at Brash and Santos, you expected them to be there. But I still think the bats have way more to prove, man. So, yeah, I'm going with the bullpen should be all right. But
yeah, I think
you're concerned right now, though.
Third base still is going to be that question mark, with the only thing with the bullpen being injuries.
Yep.
And because it's only injuries and not like an actual liability, I feel a little more concerned still about third base. What I need to know, how do Mariners broadcasters determine how to split play-by-play? Do they swap who leads every 2 innings?
So it goes, Rick is obviously the lead voice. He's the voice of the Mariners. So he gets the majority of innings. I believe it's the 3rd inning, the 6th inning, and the 7th inning that goes to the second play-by-play guy. And then the 10th inning also goes to the second play-by-play guy. So that's kind of how they divvy up the innings. Mm.
What I need to know, which chore in your house will you always try to get your spouse to do because you absolutely hate it?
Nothing. Whatever she wants me to do, I'll do it. That's real. I don't sit there and be like, yeah, you mind doing the dishes? It's like, no, all right. If they're there, I got to do it. If she asks me to do laundry, I'm going to do it. I don't try to convince her to do anything.
Someone said snakes are cold-blooded. They won't do anything unless provoked because it wastes energy. So they'll just kind of sit there unless you threaten them.
See, now that's research right there, sis.
I did
research. Not a feeling, not a hunch.
I mean, look, I had to react with my gut, you know. And my gut told me that rattlesnakes would be kind of aggressive. What I need to know, insert blank and the Hawks will have a successful draft.
Insert. Let's blank.
It could be position name.
I'm going to go with this D lineman. Best D lineman.
Yeah, I think. And the flip side is, don't get a defensive lineman. And I think that I have huge questions leaving the draft.
Mm-hmm,
I agree. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Let's see what I need to know. Have any of you been have you guys been skiing?
I've been snowboarding.
I've never done either.
Never been skiing.
Never been skiing, no.
Skiing has always seemed fancy to me.
Yeah, that's the vibe I got.
That's kind of surprising because you kind of love bougie things.
I know, and I do, and I am bougie, but I have never been.
You could wear like a giant fur.
She's the type to go to the resort and just sit in the cabin.
That's exactly right. I'm going to be really honest with you guys. I'm not going to actually ski. I might try it, you know what I mean, just to say that I did it, but I'm afraid of what happens if your legs go two different ways. Do you just like fall and like, how do you not do that?
Point your toes in.
It's weird. I don't want to do it. I'm going to be in the cabin. I'll get the outfits coordinated. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I've got that part on lock.
Hey, the walk from the parking lot to the lodge, she's going to look like she's ready.
Bam, bam, bam. Just shot, shot.
Yeah, you'll have a great time buying all of the accessories that come with going to a ski lodge.
Correct. It's kind of like how in middle school, I've never been on a skateboard in my entire life.
But you had Vans?
Absolutely. Yeah. What's the best food at T-Mobile Park?
Kid Valley Corner, or Kid Valley, is that what it's called?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I was going to say.
It's easy.
The Moto Pizza is pretty
now.
Good.
Yeah, that's newer.
It's a little pricey, but it's good.
Yeah. Let's see. What I need to know. Someone said, I'll do the return flight too for half the money. You guys, just constantly. Let's see. Just people telling us that planes are cold and we should absolutely go on the plane with 5 rattlesnakes for $20 million.
Okay. You know what we can do too? Put on hella layers of clothes too.
So that if they bite you, you don't even feel it?
Yeah. Hear me out.
A giant puffy jacket.
You get to, I'm redoing it. Ready?
Okay.
One rattlesnake. Okay. Mm-hmm. You can wear whatever you want, including like specialty, like you can get armor.
Yeah.
Are you doing it?
Easy. Yeah.
What if it's only 10 million?
And I get to wear whatever I want to
you
protect myself?
You can wear
myself?
Whatever you want. You I'm have to stay in the fuselage. You can't hide it behind anything.
Got a
and it's
helmet
only
on
one
and
rattlesnake.
I got you.
Helmet on.
If I know it can't penetrate, I'm provoking that thing too. What you gonna do? What you gonna do?
All of a sudden, Bump's getting really confident. Someone said, first of all, skiing is a shower bench sport. And someone else said, I'd let a snake bite me for $5 million.
Man, you got like 10 minutes before you're gone, though.
Someone said you'd have to be a complete moron to get bit in that situation. I don't know. Would you? If you are told to get on the plane and you do not know where they are.
We're talking about wild animals here.
I'm talking about not only wild animals, but wild animals who have killed.
I don't even trust house cats. Let alone a wild animal.
I don't want any of that. I don't want anything to do with that. All right, you guys. I almost said, everyone have a good weekend.
We still got tomorrow.
One more day. All right, you guys. We are sending you to Cactus League Play. Going to listen to daytime Mariners baseball for Michael Bumpus, Curtis Rogers, Matt Nelson. I'm Stacey Ross. Don't go anywhere.